Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio. Our phone lines are open at 971-533-7111. Coming to you live from Arlington, Texas. The sun's starting to go down here and deep in the heart of Texas. I can't tell you yet whether the stars at night are big and bright, though. We will follow up on that tomorrow. I'm here for the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo. This will be my second SWCCE. Swicky? We have to come up with a funny name for it. Swicky. That'll do. This is my second one. They did the first one in Phoenix, Arizona last year, and it was huge and it was great. And this time, and you know, even Phoenix, you know, Arizona's got a little bit of a medical industry going, so you could see how that was a great show. This one here, we're in Fort Worth, Texas, and there's no medical, there's no decrim, man. So this is great that these conferences are now reaching out in states where there is yet to be an industry, understanding that, you know, you want to get that happening. You want to move forward and pioneer in those areas. So that's great. I'm looking forward to this conference. Keynoting the conference is Montel Williams. And I'm hot and cold on Montel Williams. He's great on the medical marijuana issue, his multiple sclerosis, and his background as a Marine and a talk show host. He's got a lot of notoriety and exposure. That's great. He does tend to cast aspersions on the recreational side, though. That bothers me about him a little bit. He's got that kind of Marine attitude of, you know, whatever stereotype you want to come up with about potheads, right? So that bothers me about him, but you know, take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. And the good outweighs the bad with Montel, in my mind, as far as his exposure for medical marijuana and the power of his voice and his message. Then we've also got, as I mentioned, Alexis Bortel will be speaking, the 9-year-old girl who's fled to Colorado with her parents so that she can use medical marijuana. She's coming back to Texas, which is tough for her because she has to go without her medicine. But she's coming back to Texas to speak. We'll also have members of the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition. I think it's Kyle Turley who'll be out, or maybe it's Nate Jackson, but some of the members of the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition will be out. Those are the former NFL players who are fighting for recognition of medical marijuana in the NFL to recognize what a great thing it will be to combat concussion, head trauma, pain, addiction, the problems that these NFL players go through. So looking forward to this conference. And again, my friend Sean Alexander from DFW Normal, he will be the MC. So it's going to be a great show. I will be bringing you interviews and highlights from the show coming up on next week's episodes of the Russ Belville Show. We'll probably do a pre-recorded episode on Monday because on Monday, I'll be getting my tattoo updated at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo right here in Fort Worth. We got to add Anchorage, Richmond, and Columbus, as well as a little Jamaican flag below Florida. So
Going to be fun getting the tattoo updated, and we'll have plenty of highlights from SWCCE on Monday's show. Next stop will be Portland, Oregon for a little while. Got some medical stuff to take care of in Portland, and then from Portland we'll be off to Phoenix for a while. So part of this 2016 life on the road, bringing you cannabis legalization from the green states, from the red states, and everywhere in between. It's the Russ Belville Show. Updates coming to RadicalRuss.com very soon. I haven't posted a lot of my blogs there lately, but we're going to be updating the website with new VIP sections and ways you can help support the show. And don't forget, coming up at the top of the hour of the next hour, Stoner Jesus takes you into your weekend with some Friday hilarity. That's coming up at 5 o'clock Pacific.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for cannabis facts about teen drug use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strain stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com. Helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com. And you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back. Getting some questions in the chat room about the other endeavor I'm involved in, which is the continued operation of 420radio.org, the all-music marijuana station. And I'm sad to report that I've got major technical difficulties going on with the three computers that run 420 Radio. Something going on with my Dropbox, where it was creating quadruplicates of every file, like one from one computer, one from another computer, one from another computer, and the original file. So I'd have four copies of every file, and with a 250 gigabyte Dropbox with all the music and shows that are stored on it, it quickly filled up all the hard drives on all the computers, brought them to crashing halt. So I have to reformat drives and re-download Dropboxes and resync things and reprogram things. And so for this weekend, 420 Radio is down and won't be back up probably until next weekend. It's going to take me a while to get some of this stuff done. But that's the growing pains. We've moved the 420 Radio Studios to Herb Thrasher's place. And like I said, have three computers running it now. Just a problem with the Dropbox. We'll get that fixed. And we'll have 420 Radio back up. So as I mentioned, I'm here in Texas for the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo. Yesterday, I was in Portland. And if you missed yesterday's show, I got a chance to sit down with our good friend Ganja John, one of the top extract artists in the world, frankly. I was going to say Pacific Northwest, but really probably the world. And we got into a discussion yesterday about the future of cannabis. And I brought up how in prohibitionary times, when you're growing flower, the way that you would distinguish your product was by the potency. By its THC, did it get you super high? But now with extraction, you can get THC. You can get it, you know, if you want to extract enough of it, you can get it from hemp, right? You can get the THC. You're extracting just this one molecule. So the potency isn't as much of a deal. You know, what you're extracting out of a 18% THC bud versus a 22% THC bud, well, in the end product, you're just going to get a 70, 80, 90% pure THC, depending on how you're extracting. So the THC isn't as much a big deal now. And John and I began discussing how it's going to be all about the terpenes. It's going to be all about the terpenes as far as how we're going to start breeding plants now. Because everything that you do in extraction magnifies the terpenes as well. And the flavonoids and these other parts of the cannabis plant that many folks are saying are the key to a synergistic effect that is really what creates the different highs. And they make a good point about this by saying, look, if you got a Super Silver Haze and an OG Kush, and they're both testing out to the same level of THC, but both are giving you completely different highs, then obviously there's something more to it than just the THC. And for that matter, the THC to CBD. It's a mixture of all of these things. So John and I began discussing this, and he talked about how, you know, extractors now are able to extract specific terpenes, and not just from the cannabis plant, but the terpenes that can come from other sources like lavender or wherever, pine and so forth. And that I imagined a world in the future where, if you know those newfangled soda machines, I'm becoming an old man. When they got these new soda machines with the touch screens on them, right? And you can pick, okay, there's diet beverages, there's cola beverages, there's, you know, fruit flavored beverages, and you pick the cola beverages. All right, cola beverage, you can pick cherry Coke or, you know, vanilla Coke or lemon Coke, right? All these mixtures, right? Imagine that for what we'd get in extracts in the future, where you'd have a machine at the dispensary. I was like, okay, what's your preference, sativa or indica? What's your, what level, maybe even like little sliders that you could slide one direction or another for myrcene and pinene and limonene. And maybe those have little icons next to them for happy or sad or energetic or slow or, you know, whatever the effects might be. And you would just dial it in, right? You would just dial it in like you dial in on the pizza apps now on your phone. Right? I want extra pepperoni and I want half olive, and you get those little sliders. Won't that be an amazing world to live in? Where you could dial it up on an app or dial it up at a dispensary and get a half gram or a gram of that specific kind of mixture for yourself. That after a while you'd know what levels of what terpenes work best for you, and you could always get that dispensed in an extracted form. So that was kind of the gist of our discussion on this, was how this could be automated and how this could be, you know, standardized, and how this may be the future. And so I do my prep today and I find a story that was written yesterday that is basically the same thing. It's out of the International Business Times. Cannabis 2.0, are terpenes the secret to customizable highs? And did John read this before he came down to the show, or did we just happen to hit the same idea at the same time? But it tells these
tells this company, Choose Corporation, making a product called Lucid Mood, and talking about, you know, extracting just the terpenes and being able to, you know, mix these different terpenes together in these products that they're making. Talks about how Stephen D'Angelo from Harborside and from ArcView is telling investors, there's one thing you, one word you need to know, it's terpenes. That's where the, that's where the big investments are coming next. And they talk about, there's a paragraph from the story. Jones says the team has locked down the effects of the four main terpenes that will be the basis of their first product line. They discovered that the terpene D-limonene, which has a citrusy odor, seems to produce an energetic high. So that's the main ingredient in the mood pellets Choose will call momentum. Beta-carophyllene, which has a spicy aroma, appears to create blissful highs, so it's the foundation of the company's contentment mood. Linalool, which apparently has soothing effects, is the key to Choose's relaxation mood. While beta-myrcene, which they found to be both mentally relaxing and physically stimulating, will be called body buzz. The company also says people can combine moods to create unique highs or do a second mood a little while after the first to shift the effects midstream. Wow. So exactly what we're talking about, being able to dial in the kind of high you're looking for based on the terpenes. And even some of this discussing how there won't be cannabis at all. You'll just be mixing these terpenes for specific effects. And that kind of starts to get us into that arena of the aromatherapy people and the essential oil people, what they've been saying for a long time. I just think this is fascinating, the direction that this is going. And it very well could be the future that we're going to see in marijuana products. Customizable terpenoids vended into vapor pen cartridges that would be your specific. You'd save it as a favorite on your phone. People would make their own blends. I could imagine bars in the future. Cannabis bars, vapor lounges, where the bud tender, the vapor tender, whatever you want to call them, would be making vapor-like cocktails. They would have their own names. The spicy pine, you know, I'll have a spicy pine, and you get a vapor hit of something that's high in pinene and linalool or something. I mean, the possibilities are endless here, and I think within, I mean, I'm going to live to be the guy, you know, so long as I don't make any more stupid mistakes. I'm going to live to be the guy to be 70 or 80 years old going, well, back in my day, we used to smoke the plants and call them different names. You kids these days with your push button vapor, automatic customizable terpene profiles, by God, it's going to be an amazing time, isn't it? How fast this is going to change and how legalization is fueling all of this, right? I often tell people when they ask me, you know, hey, I'm going to get into the cannabis business, man. I'm going to start to grow. I'm like, you're too late. You're already too late. If you're starting to grow now in Oregon or Washington or anything, you're too late. The next big wave is coming, and it's not going to be the people that produce the raw product. The more legal cannabis gets, the more it turns into farming. You know, a whole lot of rich farmers? Not really. Usually struggling people working hard. And that's what cannabis farming is going to become. And a lot of the cannabis growers know this. That's why a lot of them resist or impede legalization. They know it crashes the prices. It can't help but do so. What I think we need to wrap our minds around is that making that huge profit on growing weed was built on the misery of others, that you were beneficiaries of a misery index, that risk, those families being torn apart, people being put in cages and probation and P tests and all that, is what made up the profit margin that allowed you to sell it for $300 an ounce or $400 an ounce or wherever the hell we're at, what the prices are here. But that needs to be, and that's not to shame or to castigate the people who'd been involved in growing and supplying the market. You did what you had to do, and that's the way the market was. But you can't resist changing that, right? It's understandable you had to grow weed to feed your family and as a kind of crop where you could make the kind of money to actually take care of people, take care of your family and such. I understand that. I'm all for that. But you can't impede the progress of ending that misery that you're profiting from. And I'm all for coming up with laws and regulations and licensing that recognizes small growers, craft growers, micro businesses, whatever we're going to call them. But we can't stop that from happening with the price of people going to jail, right? The people going to jail part's got to end. We've got to all be united on that. And it's getting frustrating sometimes when, especially when I come to places like Texas where, you know, just the joint in the car can cause major problems with your life. And back in Oregon, they just caught a guy with like 19 pounds in his trunk and he got charged with a misdemeanor because we no longer have marijuana possession felonies in Oregon. You cannot possess enough marijuana to get a felony charge in the state of Oregon. State of Arizona, you can still get a felony charge for that roach in your car. So this is the perspective I hope my show brings to people sometimes, is to recognize this stuff's still going on.
Hey, bud, let's party.
Well, wouldn't you know it, I was rambling on and on and on, and I missed my 420 break by a minute and 30 seconds. We're 90 seconds late for 420. I think that means we have to do an extra or something. The punishment ain't so bad. And besides, it's really 6:20 out here in Dallas, so I'm all messed up. Be right back.
From high atop Mount Soledad in San Diego, California, 100 feet above sea level. Good morning. It's Good News with cannabis nurse Heather.
This plant is amazing. Positive change is happening. We did it. No matter who you are, you can make a positive impact on the world.
I would rather be illegally alive than legally dead.
And that quote helped to give you strength.
Nurse Heather is only on CannabisRadio.com.
Good morning, Cannabis Nurse Heather.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat? More flavor.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and The Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 24 after the hour. And we are definitely caught up. Wow. Coming to you live from Dallas, Texas. Actually, Arlington. Be honest, I'm in Arlington. Between the D and the FW, right in the middle of the Metroplex here. Got the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo taking place this weekend. I'll be reporting from there all weekend, getting it recorded for you, and we'll have some playback coming up on next week's shows. Because next week I will be giving you pre-recorded shows, because next week I've got some medical procedures that are necessary. As you know, my brother got the stage 4 colon cancer right before Christmas. He's okay now, but he got the stage 4 colon cancer, right? And so now that means I have to be checked out, if you know what I mean. And I've often said that I'm not afraid of any camera, but I'm a little afraid of this camera. So it's going to be, that's coming up Wednesday. And so I'll probably be out Wednesday and Thursday, I imagine. And we'll just bring you some pre-recordings for those couple of days. Other news, of course, Stoner Jesus is coming up at the top of the hour, 5 o'clock Pacific time, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. And that's live here on CannabisRadio.com as well on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Also, the huge announcement that the Tommy Chong new podcast joins us on March 2nd. That's the Tuesday. The show with Tommy and his son Paris Chong. Very glad to have them coming up on CannabisRadio.com. So, I did want to give a quick update on hemp. We had Doug Fine for our Hemp Day Hump Day update on Wednesday, but I've got this update on House Bill 4060, which is a bill for Oregon and its hemp industry. Does a number of things. It would remove the requirement that industrial hemp crops be grown in fields at least 2.5 acres in size. Did you know that? We had a restriction that you couldn't grow a field smaller than 2.5 acres. Why would you want to restrict the small farms? I don't get that. The bill would also establish regulations for hemp products meant for human consumption and clarify that it is not a food adulterant. Now, this probably has to do with all sorts of regulations that hemp would run afoul of if they didn't get this exemption. It authorizes registered handlers who are also registered growers to process industrial hemp into commodities, products, or agricultural hemp seed in the place where the crop is located, provided that processing complies with land use plans and applicable zoning ordinances. Basically, you can process your own hemp on site. Additionally, the legislation removes current limits on how growers can establish their crops, authorizing them to use any propagation method to produce industrial hemp and allowing them to retain agricultural hemp seed for propagation for future years. That would be an anti-GMO thing, I would think. Being able to retain your own seed and how they can establish, they can propagate them in any way they choose, cloning perhaps. And the section would also clarify that hemp farmers can grow all varieties of hemp and stipulate that hemp farmers must comply with the same water and pesticide regulations as growers of other crops. This bill is supported by both the Oregon Farm Bureau and the Oregonians for Food and Shelter, saying it would help expand hemp farming in the state. The Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee unanimously passed this bill 5-0. Last week, the House voted for it 54-4. Hemp production began in Oregon in 2009, the regulatory structure in place by 2014. The federal government still bans hemp farming, but a number of states, Oregon being among them, including Colorado, South Carolina, Connecticut, Maine, North Dakota, and Vermont, ignore the federal prohibition. Their licensing removed any sort of reference to the federal prohibition. There had been hemp states that had had it in their, and they still have it in their licensing. I think Hawaii is one of them, that says, yes, our state allows for hemp farming so long as you get the DEA permit for hemp farming. Well, the DEA ain't giving out permits for hemp farming. So it kind of makes those laws, you know, symbolic, basically. Well, Oregon and these other states changed their laws to say, we don't care. You can get your hemp license. The state's going to run this. We don't care what the federal government has to say. So good news moving forward on the hemp front there in my home state for now of Oregon. Speaking of the state that I'm in right now, state of Texas. In fact, right here in the very city I'm in, Arlington, Texas, we have a story from the Dallas Morning News Police seize almost 100 marijuana plants at Arlington home. Rodolfo Ernesto Mario faces charges of possession of marijuana, renting the house, according to a search warrant. And it was an electrical worker who was investigating whether or not electricity was being stolen, and he smelled the odor of marijuana, so he called the police. So one of those cases where you got the electrical company calling the cops. The story doesn't mention whether or not they found any evidence of electricity being stolen there. And this is just... the marijuana here looks to be very nicely grown, according to the photo that I'm looking at. Big colas and everything. But for the police to be patting themselves on the back for this when they didn't do anything. It's not like their great detective work uncovered the massive marijuana kingpin. It was the electric company, right? It's the guy from the electric company narking him out that caught this guy. And we don't know what the destination of this marijuana was for, if it was all commercially based, or if this guy was growing marijuana to help people, help sick people. You don't know. And even if it does go to the black market, you know, one of the things we always have in this discussion is the black market. And yes, there is the black market that involves the Mexican cartels that behead people and, you know, put them in vats of acid. And yes, there is the black market that's shady as fuck and leaves you sitting in parking lots with a bag of oregano, right? Showing up 3 hours late and overcharging you for a light bag, right? There's all that. I've seen and reported on all these kind of things. But there's also the black market, which is the friends that grow weed and they sell enough to their other friends just to cover them being able to smoke weed for free and the cost of the lights and electricity. They're no big time grower. They're just growing a little bit of plants. Now what I'm seeing in this picture is not that guy. This guy's growing more than that. There's a significant grow here, but there is black market that is just a small time grower who's growing for himself and a few friends. And there is the black market that is desperately sick people in Texas who that's the only place they can get medicine is a guy who's growing like this. And yeah, they're paying black market prices for it. They're paying prohibition profiteering for it. And yeah, maybe the guy that's growing this weed doesn't have it in his heart that he's doing this to help sick people. He's just like, hey, there's money there. Regardless of how it came about, though, call it black market, call it commercial, whatever. That marijuana there could very well be going for sick people. And taking that marijuana down isn't something to brag about or celebrate. It's, you know, yes, you're the cops and you got a tip and you did your job, but it's not something that we're happy about, that anybody should be happy about. And you always have to question, you know, are there racial implications here? Latino man getting busted, this 100 plant grow. I'm going to assume not at this point. I mean, but you can't ignore it. You can't ignore the disparities, the numbers, the differences here. But that's just this story published today, this morning, is the story that's happening all over America. Is somebody's life is being put up all over the internet. And whether this guy's convicted or not of this grow, this changes his life forever. And unnecessarily so. As I scrolled down the page, the very first comment I see from a commenter named Side Yard Pale says, I moved from Texas to Oregon a couple years ago. A half hour ago, I stopped by the marijuana store and legally purchased a couple low-strength joints for the weekend, like an adult. I am gainfully employed, and this helps de-stress me more than alcohol. What did I get, you ask? Allen Wrench, a light sativa that eliminates manic depression and doesn't really provide a Hey, man. Buzz. It's just the absence of some negative thoughts that I kind of get trapped in now and then. It is ridiculously stupid that this stuff is not legal. Legalize it at the federal level, tax it, and use that tax revenue to hire our veterans to be armed patrols at our schools and universities. Give every school employee a life alert-like button to push if anything unseemly happens. Arm the patrols with weapons and technology. But wait, how will Big Pharma get paid? I don't know about armed veterans roaming our schools, but otherwise, it's a good point, you know. And this is what, you know, this is the tipping point that we're at for 2016. Is that we'll have too many states that where it's legal. You know, if I had this scenario in my head of how legalization could actually backslide us, and I'm so glad it didn't come true. But it was in 2012 when you had Oregon, Washington, and Colorado voting on legalization, the big breakthrough year. I had thought, what? Because I was pretty sure Oregon wasn't going to win. And Washington I didn't think would win because it had all those negatives of the per se DUID and the no home grow. I didn't think it would win. And I thought, if Colorado's the only one that wins, then Colorado's just a joke. Colorado's just Rocky Mountain High, and it's in the middle of the country, kind of geographically separated from most of the, you know, the big markets, and Mile High City and all the jokes that come with it. And it could be written off as a fluke, as an exception. If Colorado had been the only one that won and Washington had lost and Oregon had lost, Oregon wouldn't have gone forward in 2014 with trying to legalize. And then it's questionable whether or not Alaska would have gone forward. So then we would have been sitting with just Colorado moving into 2016 and then trying to do some major states in 2016. And I don't know that we would have had the same momentum. So to me, it was so important that we got those two states in 2012 and then two more in 2014 right after. Strike while the iron is hot. So that by the time this 2016 rolls around, there's four examples. You can't just point out one that's a fluke, Colorado, this or that happened. And it's four different ways that we've legalized, four different systems to be able to compare and contrast. So 2016 happens, and if we get our shit together and get these initiatives on the ballot and don't shoot ourselves in the foot by stoners against legalization and actually pass them in California, Arizona, Massachusetts, Maine, and Nevada. And I got problems with some of the Nevada stuff and some of the Arizona stuff and even some of the Massachusetts. The Maine one's pretty cool, I gotta say. I like Maine's legalization. We get five more states and four other legal states. We got nine states. They won't be able to deny it anymore, and even Texas will be able to legalize.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com.
Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. Candid.
I want to give you the inside story.
Captivating.
I want to introduce you to my kind and amazingly talented friends.
Compelling.
We get to meet some of the most amazing cannabis activists and warriors around.
Listen in as medical marijuana pioneer Dr. Dina shares never-before-heard stories, chats with cannabis insiders and celebrity friends, and provides invaluable perspective and insight into one of the fastest-growing industries in the world.
I want to share with you what was once confidential information. Let's expose the truth, discuss the issues, and learn the facts.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestea trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 6:40 here in Arlington, Texas. The sun is going down. Dusk is befalling us. I'm looking out the window here at DFW Normal headquarters. Nice sky. We got the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo taking place the next couple of days. Alexis Bortel, Montel Williams, Gridiron Cannabis Coalition, and more. We'll get you plenty of interviews, plenty of highlights, and plenty of photos. Follow me at Radical Russ for the intense feed of everything. Follow at RB Show 420 if you only want show updates. I try to keep the RB Show 421 just the updates on the show. Radical Russ is everything, and sometimes I get in Twitter fights with people, and it can be a little much, so I understand if you have to unfollow me for a while. Sometimes I get a little verbose for Twitter. But I wanted to comment here as we close out another show, and remember, top of the hour, Stoner Jesus is coming up live, too, so you can keep the live vibe going right here on CannabisRadio.com. But this story that, you know, now it's in the Chicago Tribune. The headline is, Colorado struggles to educate marijuana tourists. So the spin on this, and I'm not surprised, but it's this data that's come out about the emergency room admissions in Colorado, comparing Colorado residents to Colorado tourists. And Colorado residents' rate of visits to emergency rooms citing cannabis went up 44%. But for tourists, it went up 109%. For tourists, they had 78 per 10,000 visits in 2012, and they were at 163 per 10,000 visits in 2014. So 109% increase. Now, this is being attributed to, the Colorado newbies, or the newbies come into Colorado and they eat the edibles and they don't. And this story even has the little, you know, his little setup here. This is a Josh Noel from the Chicago Tribune. You're in Colorado where recreational marijuana is legal. You decide to indulge and eat a weed brownie. First one since college. Nothing seems to happen. You can still reel off the state capitals, hold a coherent conversation, and an entire bag of salt and vinegar potato chips doesn't sound particularly tasty. So you eat another brownie, and waiting for something to happen, perhaps one more. And then blam! Anxiety, sweats, panic, heart palpitations, and your Colorado vacation takes an unwelcome turn to the emergency room. Right, that's the nightmare scenario, right? And the idea here is that the out-of-staters aren't being educated as to how to eat the brownies and to wait and to dose low and to wait. That might be part of it, but I think there are a lot of factors that are going ignored in these stories. One of them is that when you're the out-of-state visitor, you have to use the edible because public toking is against the law. And there are no cannabis lounges for anyone to go toke at. They can't take it to their hotel room and toke there. The Colorado resident can buy vaporizers or buy weed to smoke and be able to use it at their homes or their friends' homes. So I would ask, what is the rate of edible use among out-of-staters compared to the in-staters? If you got a higher rate of edible use, then it would stand to reason there'd be a higher rate of them going into the ERs for having an overuse situation. It's not that the tourists are any less educated than the locals.
It's that the locals don't have to be exposed to that risk as often because they've got a place to smoke. I think a lot of these noobs that want to get back into it would rather smoke a joint. It's what they remember. The bongs intimidate them, man. They don't want to, it's like, oh my God. But these edibles, they tend to think of back in the day, you know, when people were making edibles, a lot of them didn't know what the hell they were doing. And the weed brownie was never too powerful anyway and tasted like crap, like hay. And now they get a hold of something now that tastes freaking great and packs a wallop. And I'm not the guy, you know, I'm not the all uses medical guy, right? You know that. I've had bad experiences on edibles. I know what they're talking about. And I can see how it's the kind of thing that would make you want to go to an emergency room. I've had some bad experiences. So I don't at all discount that thing. But let's also have some perspective on how low a rate this really is. It's like when Dr. Mitch talks about some of these studies that say, well, it doubles your risk of testicular cancer. Well, what was your initial risk of testicular cancer in the first place? Well, pretty damn low, right? It's like, hey, if you buy 2 lottery tickets, you double your chances of winning. Yeah, you went from 163 million to 1 to 85 million to 1. You didn't really double much. You're not getting that much better chance, right? But this this demonization of cannabis just allows this sort of thinking to continue, and it's frustrating that we can't get past this. So there's that aspect of it, right? The fact that, you know, the out-of-staters have to use the edibles, not necessarily that they're any less educated. And then the other aspect of this is the fact that marijuana is legal now is going to open people up to being able to report this now more often than they used to. Before, if you got into some brownies, they were illegal brownies, and you didn't want to have to tell the ER people what it is you'd gotten into that made you so sick, and maybe you try to ride it out a little bit. Now that marijuana is legal, people are less afraid to go into the emergency room because their insurance would actually pay for it, it not being something that they could get taken off for it being an illegal drug. There's so many aspects of this, and I do caution people on our side to avoid trying to just brush this off as if it's not real, because people are sensitive to this, even though, like, I use that lottery example, but math and logic don't work on people when you're talking about these kind of things. They do fear these sorts of things. The fear is real, even if it's not based on anything real. So we have to help them recognize, and we can't be seen as saying, nope, there's no problem whatsoever. No, there is a problem. We don't want to have people having negative reactions to cannabis products. It's just bad PR for the industry. It's bad for the public health. We need to work on making sure that doesn't happen. So the educational campaigns are great, but I think until we legitimize and popularize pot lounges, we're going to see this problem. See, in a pot lounge, you might be able to set it up so that the bud tender who sells you the brownie that you eat on site knows not to give you another brownie for another hour, or tells you how to, you know, use it properly. And again, having the pot lounge means you don't even have to use the brownie in the first place. You could just use a vapor bag, a vaporizer. You can smoke a joint, smoke a bong, smoke a bowl, and not have to deal with all those problems. But that's what we're working for, of course, as we continue this marijuana movement. It's just amazing how fast everything is changing. I'm amazed that I get to be here in Fort Worth, Texas for a cannabis conference. I've done the normal conferences before, but this is an expo. This is more of a business to business kind of thing. And to know that there's that much demand for this in Texas and this much possibility that we can put something like this on, I'm really looking forward to it. Get a big name like Montel Williams coming in. That can only help things as we move forward. All right, we're going to take a break here. pay some more bills, and then we'll come back and close things up so Stoner Jesus can get on the air, coming to you live at the top of the hour here on CannabisRadio.com. Joining us soon on CannabisRadio.com, March 2nd, the Tommy Chong podcast, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com. Tommy Chong and his son Paris joining us here on the airwaves, March 2nd. We're not on the airwaves. These are the internets. We're digital, man. Don't touch that dial. Like you got a dial. Oh, Texas.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
At midnight, July 1st, 2015, adult marijuana prohibition came to an end in Oregon. Immediately, over 400,000 adults who consume cannabis responsibly were no longer criminals. This is what freedom sounds like. Brought to you by Portland Normal.
Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. Candid.
I want to give you the inside story.
Captivating.
I want to introduce you to my kind and amazingly talented friends.
Compelling.
We get to meet some of the most amazing cannabis activists and warriors around.
Listen in as medical marijuana pioneer Dr. Dina shares never-before-heard stories, chats with cannabis insiders and celebrity friends, and provides invaluable perspective and insight into one of the fastest-growing industries in the world.
I want to share with you what was once confidential information. Let's expose the truth, discuss the issues, and learn the facts.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Thank you, Dan Michaels. Radical Russ live here in Arlington, Texas. The sun has gone down. It's getting dark out here in Texas. Getting up tomorrow morning for the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo. Looking forward to that. Alexis Bortel, the 9-year-old who fled to Colorado to use medical cannabis for her condition. She will be there. Montel Williams will be there. We'll see if we can get a question and answer with him. We'll have members of the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition and other doctors, professionals, and activists getting involved. We'll bring you all the highlights on next week's shows. Stoner Jesus comes up at the top of the hour, but before we go, I just really quickly wanted to make note of a piece that came out on KIRO Radio. That's a radio station up in the Seattle area, which is harmless marijuana-induced psychosis on the upswing. And the one part in here, of course, this is an article completely devoid of statistics, study, hyperlinks, science. It's basically, they talked to a rehab guy who said, oh my God, the psychosis is out of control with the marijuana. It's awful. Okay. But he's blaming it on the potency. We get the, it's the potency argument. This is Paul Hunziker, a longtime therapist and licensed chemical dependency specialist, the founder of Family Therapy and Recovery in Renton, says researchers have known for years marijuana can lead to everything from paranoia to depression, and the problem is expanding significantly. Quote, "There has always been a difficulty with psychosis being triggered by marijuana, but now with these concentrations, it's happening a lot more regularly," end quote. The concentration he's referring to is the THC in all of the new super-strength marijuana. Super-strength marijuana. Quote, "Normal marijuana in the 90s had a concentration of 10 to 15%. Marijuana's moved up to 25 to 30%, but the butane hash oil, we're getting up to 90% THC content," end quote. The hash oil, commonly referred to as dabbing, is particularly popular with young people, prompting a dramatic rise in mental health problems with teens and young adults, Hunziker said. Yeah, okay, so once again, you get this potency argument that ignores the fact that people develop a tolerance and people titrate their dose. Rather than smoking weed all day, someone takes a dab. And that's good, and they're fine for a while. And everything that we found so far in this research that they point out is something that harms people that have a predisposition to psychosis in the first place. It's not that weed is causing anything. But this scaremongering about the potency and this alleged harm ignores one salient follow-up, which would be, if it is this harmful, why would you want criminals in control of this? Why would you want people not getting any medical information about this? Nothing about whether or not marijuana is harmful advocates for it being prohibited. If that were the case, alcohol and tobacco would be prohibited right now. All right, folks, that's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. Remember, coming up right at the top of the hour, Stoner Jesus is coming to you live. Gonna save your stony soul. I'm Radical Russ, coming to you live from Arlington, Texas. We'll be here for Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo this weekend. We'll be at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo on Monday, and Monday night we may put together a Texas meetup dinner kind of thing. Get everyone together and chat. Big thanks to Sean McAllister and everyone at DFW Normal, Dab and Adam, for driving me around today. Have yourselves a great weekend. For everyone here at DFW Normal headquarters and CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.